Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the High Existence Podcast. My name is Eric Brown, and today we are going to spend a few minutes together one-on-one talking about a topic that is very near and dear to my heart, and I believe is very near and dear to many of us in this community. We're going to be talking about integration as it relates to working with psychedelics and plant medicines. This is a topic that, although it has been coming into public discourse a little more, particularly the past few months and years, I still feel like it's heavily discounted or overlooked as it relates to working with psychedelics for personal transformation, for healing, and simply for exploring the nature of consciousness, reality, and your own internal experience. So we'll try to keep this not too long, but we'll see where we get. We're going to explore a few concrete definitions or framings of integration. We're going to explore a few models that can help you relate to your own integration process. We're going to go over a few frequently asked questions. And one thing I'd like to address right off the bat here is that a lot of these are my own opinions from my own experience working with this, from building companies, organizations, content, and programming in this space. So all of this you can take with a grain of salt. I definitely have some strong opinions about this, but like anything, you should form your own opinions, your own experiences, and your own frameworks around these. A few notes for those who could use some context on just who I am, my experience in this space, and where I'm relating to this from. I'm currently the director of Apotheosis Retreats, the plant medicine retreat series that we run here through High Existence. I designed, developed, and ran the integration programs for Apotheosis Retreats, and I've also designed a lot of the therapeutic programming, both preparation, experiential, in-session, and integration content for the largest provider of psychedelic medicine therapy in the world as it stands today in June 2022. That was specifically ketamine therapy. So whether it's the shamanic mystical space working with ayahuasca or other plant medicines, whether it's the clinical scientific space working with ketamine and other legally available substances in North America, I have a fair amount of experience designing these systems, a long and many hours spent actually thinking about them, testing them on myself, and building them and running hundreds of people through our retreats and thousands of people through clinical psychedelic therapeutic programming. So with all of that said, let's begin where we should always begin with a topic like this, which is getting clear on some definitions. What do we actually mean when we talk about integration? I have three framings here, three definitions that I have come to very deeply appreciate. The first is almost a literal definition of integration as a word itself, which for me means becoming whole, or actually bringing in disparate parts into a unified collective. So this first theory of becoming whole, I think, is extremely beautiful. You can take a few frames on this. One is re-owning or reclaiming parts of ourselves that we have pushed away, that we have forgotten, that we have actively disowned, whether this is shadow work, whether these are forgotten memories, whether these are dreams that we have left scattered on the road of life behind us. Integration is a process of becoming aware of these disparate parts of ourselves and bringing them back into us as a collective whole. Wholeness, as we'll come to talk about, I think throughout this conversation, is extremely related to the healing process itself. The more you heal, the more whole you become, the more of your own totality you begin to take ownership of, deep ownership of. So becoming whole is one of my first favorite definitions of the integration process as it relates to plant medicines and psychedelic work. Another classic mantra, a second definition of integration that I really like because of how accessible and immediate it is it's moving from altered states to altered traits. This is fairly straightforward, right? You are taking the experiences, insights, lessons, emotions, feelings that you have while in altered states of consciousness. And this isn't specific to psychedelics. This can also be in deep meditative states. This can also be in breathwork sessions, in yoga, and actually mapping those and using those as fuel to create altered traits in yourself, new behavioral patterns, new ways of seeing the world, new mental models and how you relate to yourself, to other people, to the world, to reality at large. So integration is really that bridge. It's that process. It's the path that you walk to go from altered states, the vision of what is possible for you, into altered traits, who you are in this very moment, how you act, how you think, how you love. The final definition I'll give here for integration is probably the most straightforward. And it is simply just taking action on what we've learned and experienced so far by incorporating it into who we are, both how we act internally and what our lives look like externally. Maybe it's the work that we do, the relationships that we have, the places that we live, or internally with the habits that we hold, how we conduct ourselves, the quality of our mental and emotional states. So taking action on what we've learned by incorporating it into who we are. And you'll see that all of these, again, as they should, share very similar undertones, right? Becoming whole, going from altered states to altered traits, and taking real embodied action on the lessons and insights that we've had by incorporating them into who we are and who we're becoming. So we have a collective definition now, a working definition of integration as it relates to psychedelics. Now, why does this matter? Why is it important at all? Why is integration necessary? Why is it helpful? What is it going to do for you? To begin, this is really where the true transformational potential of psychedelics is. This is right here in the here and now, in your life, in the real, in the mundane. It's the majority of the experience. This is, again, what I meant at the beginning when I think we have collectively so far focused actually perhaps too much on the experiences themselves and have really tipped the scales in favor of the experience and not enough in the integration process, the aftermath of the experience and how it ripples out into the rest of your life. When people talk about the transformative potential of psychedelics, I think they really are pointing to what happens when you deeply, fundamentally, and completely integrate whatever happens in your experience into your life. That is where the true transformation lies. And building on this, this is also where the majority of the work is, right? This is a common term that comes up in personal growth, self-optimization, particularly the psychedelic spaces, is, are you doing the work? Now, yes, you can have significantly challenging or confronting experiences in the dosing session themselves. But really, I think it's the consistent application of the techniques, the lessons, and the insights that are harder for more people to stay consistent, to actually show up for the integrative process over time. That is where a lot of the work lies. That is where your commitment to the transformation, that is where your commitment to the medicine experiences is really demonstrated. And so if you really want to show up, if you really want to catalyze personal transformation for yourself by using these sacred medicines, you have to consider the integration part of the experience fundamentally important. One of the questions I really like to ask people as they're trying to explore psychedelics more, to make deep change for themselves with plant medicines, is, are you here just for a trophy collection of fun stories that you can tell at parties? You know, the confrontation with the snakes or the DMT entities or the crazy experience you had in the forest with your friends? Or are you actually here to change your life? If you're here to fundamentally transform who you are and the trajectory of your life, then you have to integrate it. You have to integrate these lessons. They're not just party stories. Yes, there's an immense value in having beautiful experiences, in touching the transcendent, in coming into mystical union with the ground of being. But it has to go beyond that. It has to weave its way into the very fundamental DNA. It has to weave itself into your DNA. So if you are here for personal transformation, if you are here for deep healing experiences, integration is fundamentally important to this process. There's also a frame here as it relates to the medicine path that I don't hear often, but I think is extremely, extremely important. Integration, if you want to do any level of work in the psychedelics or plant medicine world, move along the medicine path, even going down the shamanic path, complete and total integration of your lessons and experiences as they come up is fundamentally important, because it is integration that unlocks the next step or the next stage in that path, in that process. And if you're not integrating, and we'll touch on this more in a moment, but if you're not integrating your experiences and just going from medicine session to dosing session to medicine session, you will often find yourself looping through the same experiences, the same insights, the same lessons, but not actually progressing. I was in a combo session with a medicine woman once, and she really explicated this path in a way that I've come to deeply appreciate, and it really shows you how shamans view the medicine path and how it evolves for you as you move along the path. For most individuals, when they start working with plant medicines or psychedelics for personal healing, the role that the experience and the compound has is as a medicine to heal, right? You are coming with some material or illness or psychosomatic block that you actually want healing from. You're actively suffering or struggling, and so you come into these experiences and they serve in a very real way as medicines to heal you. As you go through your own healing experiences and integrate them, what happens next is you unlock the second stage, which is these experiences and these medicines then evolve for you from a medicine into a teacher, and you enter into a kind of teacher-student dynamic, and they will begin to educate you on what conditions they're best used for, how to use them with honor and integrity and reverence and sacredness, how to progress in your own life on your own journey. So you move from a medicine-based relationship to a teacher-student dynamic. The more you integrate the teacher-student dynamic, your relationship to these medicines then evolves into a guide, where on your own path, the medicines can help point you in the right direction. They can offer clarity in a somewhat confusing path forward. So we've gone from a medicine to a teacher to a guide. Eventually, as you integrate more of the lessons on the guide level and you're actually following and going boldly and courageously in the direction that they're guiding you, you can unlock another stage, which is they become an ally and walk beside you and really push you forward in that process, in your own process, towards your own future, towards the potential that you have inside of you. And again, it's worth noting again here that you only unlock these stages as you've integrated the lessons, the learnings, and the experiences from the previous one. They're not inevitable. You can actually be stuck in the medicine stage your whole life because you're not integrating it. With comprehensive integration, you unlock these further stages of deepened relationships with these medicines and with these experiences. The final stage after the ally or the support or the partner stage is a full waking embodiment. There's no separation between the individual or the medicine. The will of the medicine, the will of ayahuasca, the will of Bufo becomes the will of the individual. This is much further down the shamanic path, but actually a lot of the times you will hear that echoed in some form. after the ally, there's a merging. There's a merging between the wills and the experiences and the tone and the temperament of the individual and the medicine itself. Yeah, I think this is extremely powerful. So all of this is to say, this is another reason why integration is so fundamentally important for you if you want to pursue a direction or a path in the healing world, in the medicine path, in the plant medicine, in the facilitation space. Integration unlocks deeper, more comprehensive, more total stages of relationships with these medicines and with these experiences. And they are not unlocked for you until you have integrated and done the work from the previous stage. So, okay, you know, maybe we've bought why integration is so important, why it benefits you as an individual and also opens up doors of possibilities for your future. But what does this actually look like? What is the process of integrating even a singular lesson? So we're going to dive into a kind of multi-step process that I've really come to appreciate about what integration actually looks like in practice on a day-to-day basis. So the first stage, as all of these experiences do, is you have the experience itself. This is within the medicine session. You have an embodied insight, a feeling, a sensation, an epiphany, a realization, a union into the possibilities that are out there for you in the future, and perhaps even a demonstration or insight and understanding into the changes that you need to go through to make that a reality. So the first step of integration is you have the experience itself. You have an embodied recognition that there is something perhaps better, greater, or more powerful available to you. The second step here in integration is an intention. You need to actually set an intention for yourself to act on these lessons, to act on this experience and normalize it within you, to not have it be a one-off experience that only comes up in altered states, but to set a firm intention that you are going to do the work and you are going to show up for the process to deeply embody this and make it a regular, normalized part of who you are, how you act, how you conduct yourself in the world. Now, armed with the embodied experience and the guiding intention, the next step in integration is finding the behaviors that actually enable that. What does that look like on a day-to-day basis? So map out for yourself, really explicate it, like write it down, stick it on your forehead, write on a sticky note, slap it on your forehead of what is the more desirable, more empowering, more life-affirming behavior, and root it in a real example that is actually doable for you, right? There's a big difference between, oh, I need to take better care of my body. I really want my physical being to be more healthy and vital, and I am going to dedicate myself to a yoga practice each and every morning for 30 minutes, or I'm going to start taking up endurance running and training for a marathon, or I'm simply going to stand up every half an hour because I've been sitting too long. You need to actually drill this down into the behavior that moves you towards integrating that experience. Once you have the behavior actually identified for yourself, the next step in integrating it is turning it into a habit, right? These aren't one-off situations. Your life is not a one-off experience, or the changes in your life are not one-off experience. So turning that behavior into a habit that you can continue to show up for day in, day out, in whatever cadence is deemed appropriate for you. Once you have your habit, the next stage is simply making it the practice. This is where the work is. Put in the reps for everything that you want to more deeply integrate. If you want to cultivate deeper relationships, find the behavior, habit, and practice of actually reaching out to people, making time to speak with those that you care about. Same thing goes for physical health. Same thing goes for a sadhana or sacred spiritual practice. Find a way to make that into a practice in your life. This is important because the next stage is that once you have taken your habit, turned it into a practice, and done it over extended time, it becomes second nature to you, and you can see how we're now moving in a very clear direction towards full and complete integration. This is really where the practice becomes normalized. It's not something that actually is work for you anymore. It's just a normal part of your day. Most people you can find when they sustain a gym habit for a long time is it shifts from, oh, going to the gym is so challenging and it takes so much work, it takes so much effort, to it actually becomes, I feel strange when I don't go to the gym each day. And you can notice the fundamental shift in that, where actually the practice is now so much ingrained in your life that it becomes the strange experience is not doing it. The strange experience is actually not doing it. And so this, making the practice, making this new way of being so normalized that it turns into unconscious competence. You don't even have to think about the thing. It just happens and you do it. And with this, over time, second nature becomes a way of being. And this is what I would consider a complete and thorough integration of whatever the lesson, experience, insight, or feeling is. It becomes effortless. It becomes natural. It becomes actually a hallmark of who you are. I am the person who takes care of my health. I am the person who has deeply meaningful relationships, and people might actually begin to refer to you or look up to you or acknowledge that in you. And this, once it becomes a way of being for you, you are now actually at a new foundational point. You're at a new resting point. You have taken a step function increase, and this is actually the foundation that new insights, new experiences, and new material for integration can come from. And you can see now with this where integration is largely an endless process. It becomes an upward spiral where you're continually going through the process of having new experiences, having new insights, having new recognitions of what is possible for your life, and going through the integration process. However long that takes, you come to a point where you say, wow, that thing that was just a dream for me, that was just a feeling of what is possible, is now my living, breathing, waking reality. And this is what we mean, again, by becoming whole, by going from altered states to altered traits. And you are now back at the beginning where you are prepared, your mind, body, spirit complex is prepared for new revelations, for new embodied experiences, and for new insights that you can begin the integration process with once again. So that is really the, I believe, 7-step process of what total and comprehensive integration looks like. And specifically what you are integrating will look different for everyone based on who you are, based on the context of your life, based on your goals, dreams, desires, personal dispositions, karmic inheritance, all of that. Yeah, so let's take a quick look here at 2 other models for integration that I really appreciate, because each of them contains a level of context that can help you crystallize what it is that you want to focus on, or helpful toolkits to assist you to rely on as the integration process continues. Because integration, particularly if it's a very fundamental concept, can certainly be challenging at times. The first model I really like, I call PEMS, P-E-M-S, stands for physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. And you can actually break down your experiences within these categories and see if there are really outstanding areas that need some more attention or some further integration. They're largely straightforward, but you know, just for a few examples, physical integration is largely taking care of your health and wellness. Also, the environmental context that you find. Where do you live? What is the air quality? Do you get enough sunlight? How is your physical health? How's your sleep patterns? How's your hygiene? Things like that. Emotional integration. This can be self-care. How do you relate to yourself? Are you expressing yourself enough? How are the relationships in your life? There's mental, you could also call this cognitive integration. What are your stress levels like? Do you enjoy your work? Do you have a sense of autonomy and sovereignty in your life? Are you cultivating mastery or deepening your relationships in any domains in life? And finally, we have spiritual integration, right? How connected do you feel to yourself? How connected do you feel to life? Do you have experiences of transcendence or being connected to something greater than yourself? Do you have a sense of purpose, an orienting meaning structure in your life? And if you answer no to any of these, you have an immediate area where you can work on integrating further. And you'll notice sometimes you can have experiences or insights in sessions or ceremonies that will likely fall into one or several of these buckets. And here you can go and start the integration process. So that's the PEMS energetics model: physical, emotional, mental, spiritual energy, and either areas that are overdeveloped or underdeveloped in yourself. Really nice to just take the fuzziness, abstractness sometimes that can come with medicine experiences and put them into a concrete action plan to integrate. The second model that I really find helpful with integration, come to refer to as the three-day initiation. And three-stage might be a better way to say this, because it's not literally 3 days, but it's a very nice stage model that I think a lot of us experience, and having language to put to it can be really, really helpful. So the first stage here is a new experience is realized. You have an insight, you have an embodied experience of something greater inside of you. This creates a lot of motivation, it creates a lot of inspiration. Oh my God, so much love, I have so much potential, so much energy, I'm going to go do all of these great things. Maybe I had a very powerful communal experience on the retreat, and I can see how my relationships can get better, I can see how much there is for me to do at work. So there's a lot of this energy unlocked, a new frequency, you might say, is realized. And so you can start working with this motivation, you can start working with this inspiration. But then, almost inevitably, you come to stage two, which is the test or the challenge, where your commitment to embodying this new experience is tested. Life is actually asking you, how much do you care about this? How much do you actually want this to happen in your life? So inevitably, challenges will come up on the path, whether they're internal obstacles or literal external obstacles in the world. They might be physical illness, they might be getting fired from your job, they might be relationships falling apart or falling away. And what I like most about this model is that it lets you reframe challenges for yourself as actually a signal that you are moving in the right direction, because you know that your commitment and willingness to integrate this fully is being tested, and all you need to do is continue to show up for this process. You say, yes, I am committed, and I will do the work day in and day out to make this a reality. I don't care what you throw at me, life. I don't care the illness. I don't care the missed opportunity. I am going to make this happen because I have had the experience or the realization that shows me that there is something more beautiful available to me on the other side of this. And so with this second stage, all I would say here is expect these things to come and actually be thankful when they do. Apply the lessons and the insights that you learned with the medicine when they come up and continue to show up for the process. And if you do that, we arrive at stage three, which is you normalize, you integrate the new experience, the new frequency for yourself, and can step into this new identity, this new way of being that was once only a vision of possibility for you. It has now become an actual reality. So this three-stage model of integration I find really helpful, largely because of that second stage, right? You have a transformative, transcendent experience, a deep embodied gnosis that something better, greater, more healing, more whole, more beautiful is possible for you. You make the commitment to embody that. Life will test your commitment to that. If you show up for the process, if you dedicate yourself to the practice, you will prove to life and prove to yourself that you care about this. And when you get on the other side of the challenges, as you inevitably do, because you wouldn't have gotten the insight if you weren't equipped to handle it, you normalize this new frequency for yourself, this new reality, this new way of being. So those are two models I find really helpful when approaching your own integration or when discussing integration with anyone else. So I want to take a moment here to talk about timelines. How long does this actually take, right? We've gone through several models. We've gone through several steps in the integration process. How long are we actually talking? And I break this down really into three potential timelines. You have the immediate timeline, which I would put as the 2-week period after a dosing experience. You have short term, which is about 1 to 6 months after the dosing experience. And you have long term, which is greater than 6 months and potentially with no end date. So let's look at each of these timelines. So with many of the classical psychedelics, ketamine, mushrooms, ayahuasca, bufo, a lot of the psychedelic compounds or plant medicines experiences, for about 2 weeks, 10 to 14 days after the experience, you actually have a neurobiological benefit, which is you have a greater amount of neuroplasticity going on. Neuroplasticity is your brain's flexibility, how rigid it is and how potentially easy it is for new behaviors to be taken hold of and how quickly they cement themselves. And so you actually have a very strong window of opportunity to make considerable changes in your life because you have this 2-week immediate period after a dosing session of increased neuroplasticity. And if you pair this, as so often happens, with the increased inspiration and motivation that come from dosing experiences, you can lay a very strong foundation, a very strong groundwork, and really start to build some momentum that can help carry you forward for the weeks and months to come after. So if you have the motivation here, you'll likely also be a little more sensitive. You again might have an increased unlock in energy just from cleaning out your physical system, cleaning out some emotional baggage through catharsis. So this 2-week period is a great opportunity. However, it comes with one caveat, which is I would strongly advise against making any major life changes during this period. You can be in a very heightened state. It can feel overly compelling sometimes to come out of a session, immediately call your partner and end your relationship, or go tell your boss to fuck themselves, right, and quit your job. I would give significant life changes some time to settle in, but while also recognizing you are in a period of heightened inspiration, sensitivity, motivation, inspiration, and neuroplasticity. So if you really want to be an ally to your own integration process, taking some substantial, courageous action in the immediate 2-week period following a dosing session is extremely powerful, and you might be able to integrate several things just within that window. So let's look at short term. Again, these dates are arbitrary, but I put them at about 1 to 6 months. I really call this the to-do period. This is really where the work comes in. A lot of the times I recommend people just make an absolute list, like a master list of all the changes, all the insights, all the new behaviors, all the hobbies, all the habits you want to develop, and start showing up for them. Have the serious conversations with your partner, with your family, with your friends, with your bosses, with your colleagues, with your coworkers. Start taking action on those new habits, those new behaviors that you want. Make the list and really just execute against it. This is, again, almost the middle stages of the integration process we were talking about earlier. believe this is possible for you until you achieve it. Some of these may range from very small, right? Something like starting a morning yoga practice. They also may be very considerable, right? Transitioning your career entirely, starting a new hobby, moving countries perhaps. And this is where you can plant the seeds for major, major changes in your life. It will be difficult. It will also be extremely beautiful if you follow through with that. The final timeline is the long term, or the deep time. This is largely integration processes beyond 6 months. And really, this category comes up because there are some insights, experiences, messages, lessons that come up in medicine experiences that don't truly have an end date. There's just a continued process of doing this to the best of your ability. For example, if you had the lesson or insight that you want to express love to the people that you care about as well as you can, there's no real end date to that, right? Actually, it's like building a muscle, right? You get a little bit better at expressing love, you build the muscle of being able to express that, and then you just keep going. How much love can you express to people? A similar example might be committing to always speak your truth. Again, there's no 2-year deadline for that. It's not like you have this experience and then 2 years after you're like, okay, I'm done. No more expressing my truth. All right, so this is what I mean by long-term integration. And this is why we want to normalize these things into becoming second nature or natural ways of being for us, because then you no longer have to think about them. You don't have to think, am I expressing my truth now? Am I expressing love to people as well as I can? Am I showing up for myself and giving myself the love that I so readily give other people? It's very simply just, this is something that is important to me. This is a fundamental value that I have, and I'm going to continue to do this for the rest of my life. So that's long-term integration. Now we're going to wrap up with a few frequently asked questions that I got from some of the team, some of our audience here. So let's look. Can you integrate with another psychedelic experience? Wow. This is a common one. Sometimes people don't ask this as a question, but you can see it in their behavior, right? They had a very significant experience, and then 2 weeks later, they're back having another experience, or the next day, or the next month. And sometimes people justify this to themselves as they're integrating their last experience by having another medicine experience. My answer to this would be not really. I think it's largely a cop-out. I would invite people to get 1,000% more serious with themselves about the outstanding work that they have to do and actually do it. Running from medicine experience to medicine experience to medicine experience often begins to look like escapism more than it looks like integration over the long term. So you might be able to find an argument where you can integrate a medicine experience with another medicine experience, but I would like to hear those arguments because I don't buy them at face value. Second question we have here is, why am I not getting any new messages or new insights, right? I have the same experiences. It's always equally as challenging. I seem to be just returning to the same material. And my answer here, and this is one of the origins for this entire session, is you likely haven't integrated the previous insights or lessons from your medicine experiences yet. These are very intelligent, very wise medicines, compounds, entities, experiences, lessons. Your own path will not continue forward until you've proven yourself willing to take action on the insights you already have. Why am I going to give you new lessons if you haven't even done anything with the old ones? Really sit down and look at the outstanding insights, experiences, and feelings and actions that you've had from previous medicines and get, again, 1,000% honest with yourself of whether you've actually tried to deeply integrate them and whether you feel like you've succeeded at deeply integrating them into second nature, into completing them to their totality. Because often, once you have done that, you will start to receive new messages, new experiences, new insights. But those will only come when you are resting on a very firm foundation of having integrated the new ones. Because actually, as you increase, as you move further along the path, the intensity, the gravity of the new insights lessons will increase because you're building your psycho-spiritual strength, right? And so the medicine needs to know that you can handle it. And if you're not doing the previous work, well, that's a lighter lift than what's coming. And if you can't lift the lighter weight, they're not going to give you the heavier weight yet. So make sure that you're deeply integrating previous experiences, and that should often help unlock new messages, insights, and experiences. You may also consider working with different medicines, right? Going from mushrooms to ayahuasca, ayahuasca to bufo, incorporating ketamine, things like that. Third question is, how do I know when I'm done integrating? All right, we touched on this a little bit with the 7-stage process, and my basic answer would be this becomes a normalized way of being for you. It goes from unconscious incompetence to unconscious competence, meaning you don't have to think about doing it. You don't have to think about whether you're lying or not, right? You don't have to think about maintaining relationships with people. You don't have to think about taking care of your health and doing what's best for your body. It simply comes naturally to you. I think that's a very good benchmark on how to understand if you've integrated something. Another very powerful one is whether you are receiving feedback from the external world reflecting this, right? Are other people commenting, wow, you're looking really good, you know, you're getting a lot stronger? Or, wow, you know, you've been really helpful holding space for me, and it's nice to be able to talk to you, perhaps if you haven't been that kind of person previously. When you start getting unprompted feedback from the external world, whether from other people or from circumstances and situations, that's a reasonable indicator that you've done a good job of integrating that. Yeah, and the last question here, how can I get support integrating my experiences further? I think if you sat down and asked yourself this, you'd probably be able to come up with the support that you need in the moment, because there are many kinds of support you can get. One is meditation and asking your own inner wisdom what you need and what would be most helpful for you. A different way to do this is to journal about your experiences, to do stream of consciousness journaling, to literally ask yourself that question and then begin writing down what the answer is. You can also take a traditional route, actually working with trained therapists, particularly therapists with their own medicine experience, can be extremely valuable. They're very good at helping crystallize and clarify insights or blocks or obstacles or blind spots for you that you can then work to integrate. If you Google around online, you can find several integration circles, both online or in person. Integration circles are exactly what they sound like. They're groups of individuals committed to their own integration process and coming to be witness, to speak their truth, to get accountability and support on their own path. Integration circles, a very powerful resource. And the last one, I mean, you can always message us, right? Reach out, respond, get in touch. Would be more than happy to assist you on your way. With that, I think we're going to round off this solo cast on plant medicine and psychedelic integration. If at all you're even listening to this, if you've gotten this far, I have mad respect for the amount of commitment you're showing for your own path. I know just as well as anyone how challenging, how confronting, how grueling this work can be at times. It very much deconstructs you and reconstructs you. And so a huge shout out to you and your commitment to be better for yourself, to be better for the people around you, and to be better for the world at large. I love you very deeply. I wish you all the best with your own process and path and practice. And I hope that you were able to come across a few gemstones that may help you with your own integration experiences here. With all of that said, thank you so much, and I will see you hopefully soon for the next episode of the High Existence Podcast. Bye, guys.